Good morning, 29th and Yale Church family. Welcome guests. We're glad for each one to be in attendance today. Thank you for joining together to worship God in spirit and in truth. Brandon, I want to thank you for leading that last song. You know, sometimes when we sing, when the leader picks out a song, I don't know that they necessarily know the effect that it has or what might happen, but the opportunity to sing that together this morning has been a blessing. Thanks all who have led and participated in worship today. How did you travel this past week? In a literal sense, most of the week was pretty steady and sure-footed, but wow, Friday, that was kind of slippery and slow. In a figurative sense, though, really, how did you travel this week? As I reflect on my past week, I noticed that I traveled alone most of the week. Spent a little bit of time with some good friends. I hope we'll make a point to check in with ourselves and check in with each other as we make our way together through life. This past week, the subject of journey came up while having coffee with a couple of friends. When asked about the longest journey anyone had been on, one friend told about moving to Japan to live for several years as a newlywed just out of college. Seemed like a pretty long journey. Another friend supposed that the longest trip he had been on was the not quite there journey to humility. That too is quite a long journey. How have you been thinking about your life as a journey? In case you missed it, this past Sunday, we introduced the theme of journey as we read and thought about Abraham and his people leaving their homeland and living as foreigners in the promised land. I'd like for us to continue that theme this morning, the theme of journey, as we consider Moses and the Israelites as they traveled from Exodus, from Egypt, through the wilderness, to the promised land for more than 40 years during the Exodus. This morning, I'm grateful for friends and for perspectives. I'm grateful for growth and for God. Let's pray together and hear some more good news from Scripture. Our Father in heaven, great are you, Lord, and most worthy of praise. Father, we praise you for this day, for the miracle of senses, of sight and sound and smell, of taste and touch, to live this day, for you alone are our God. Accept our grateful thanks, O Lord, O God of steadfast love. We offer it with our whole hearts. We thank you for the provision of Scripture and the opportunity to be part of a long, long journey, part of a long, long story. We pray, Father, that you will be at work in our world and in our lives. Today, help us to hear your message for us. Give us a greater awareness of you as we travel the journey of this life. Shepherd us in your unfailing love. Please hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever gotten somewhere and didn't quite know how you got there? As a kid, this happened to me quite a bit. I like to sleep or read comic books whenever we traveled in an effort to pass the time. Sometimes, though, as an adult, I feel that way when I meet new people and try to tell them my story or explain how I got here from there. Being where I am now is not really a logical consequence of where I started. And my guess is that's true for you too. That we find ourselves here today, and we started from there, somewhere, sometime, someplace ago. And to connect the dots, it doesn't very much look like a straight path. However, things seem to make a little more sense if we look in the rearview mirror and connect the dots that way. My guess is that's what Moses and the Israelites might say as well. Imagine if we were to interview the Israelites after they arrived in the Promised Land and unpacked. They've got their stuff unloaded, they're sitting down, and we say to them, "Well, how was your trip?" "Well, where are you from? How did you get here? When did you leave?" The questions we might ask a traveler. As they explained their answer, as they gave us their answer, do you think we could even believe what they told us? It hardly makes any sense. Consider the Israelites with me. Let's look again in Acts chapter 7 at the speech that Stephen was giving to the Sanhedrin. We looked at the first part of this last week as we considered Abraham, but let's pick up there in verse 17 of Acts chapter 7 as we think about the Israelites. "As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt had greatly increased. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our ancestors by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die." And here Stephen tells us what we find in the first chapter of Exodus. And then enters Moses. We'll continue in verse 20 of Acts 7. "At that time, Moses was born. He was no ordinary child. For 3 months," I'm not sure what that means, not being an ordinary child. I suspect no parent ever thinks their kid is an ordinary child, but. "For 3 months, he was cared for by his family. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went out to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, 'Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?' But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, 'Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?' Whew! When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian." I don't know if you know where Midian is, but think of Saudi Arabia. That's how far Moses went from Egypt, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. And this chronicles what Stephen has just told us in this speech. This chronicles for us Exodus chapter 2. We pick up here in verse 30. So Moses is 40 years old, and now, verse 30 begins, after 40 years more had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. He went over to get a closer look. He heard the Lord say, I am the God of your father, the fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. He says, I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I would like for us to turn now to Exodus chapter 3 and read a couple of verses about that tell us specifically what God says to Moses about what he saw of Israel. Look in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, or listen as I read. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites and the other tribes that were there. Verse 9, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, Moses, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. That's the specific direction that God gave to Moses. Stephen summarizes it in the middle of verse 34 of Acts 7 this way, I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt. This is the same Moses that had been rejected, this is the same Moses they had rejected with the words, who made you ruler and judge? Now he was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. And this covers quite a bit of time, mostly in Exodus chapter 3. And then we have this one sentence. He led them out of Egypt and performed wonders and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the wilderness. And there we have the rest of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And that one sentence kind of pulls it all together. Have you ever taken a trip that got off to a hard start? What would it be like to begin a journey with everything you have, plus gold, silver, and clothes? The clothes, the plunder of Egypt, carrying bread on your shoulders, the dough for bread on your shoulders, leaving in the middle of the night. What would that be like? That's a hard start to a journey. Moses and the Israelites leave Egypt, headed for the promised land. In Exodus chapter 12, it tells us how many of them went. I find this interesting. Maybe you will as well. Exodus chapter 12, verse 37, the Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them, and also large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. Can you get an idea around what that looks like? 600,000 people, factor in women and children. Some estimate as many as 2.5 million people leave Egypt with flocks and herds. starting out on this journey. And some 40 plus years later, Joshua and the next generation of Israelites come into the promised land. And just before that, in Numbers chapter 26, the Israelites are numbered again. Numbers chapter 26, verse 51, the total number of men of Israel was 601,730. Again, 600,000 men are counted, same as before. We know a generation had died in the wilderness, and now about to go into the land, 2.5 million Israelites. A trip of 250 miles. That's how far it is from Egypt to Canaan. 250 miles straight. A journey of 250 miles took 40 plus years with 2.5 million people to complete. I got fussy traveling with my sister. Think about how amazing this journey must have been with all these people. Imagine this, if they walked in a single file line with 3 feet, not the COVID 6 feet, but with 3 feet between them, a single file line with 3 feet between them, there from front to back would stretch over 1,400 miles. So if they were walking in a straight line from Egypt to Canaan, 80% of them would be in Canaan when the last one left Egypt, walking in a straight line. That's a whole lot going on. As we think about this long journey, there's a lot of history here. There's a lot, as I was thinking about this lesson and reading and pulling things together, there was so much I was curious about and wanted to explore. And maybe sometime we'll have an opportunity to do that. There's a lot of history, there are a lot of people, there's a lot of scripture, there's a lot of time to consider. But for our purposes this morning, I'd like to summarize this journey with 3 questions. The first question is, how was God present? How was he for, with, and in among Moses and the Israelites as they traveled? This is going to require some reflection on your part as you remember the stories. How was God with the people, Moses and the people, as they traveled? Well, he was in the plagues. He was in the parting of the Red Sea. He led the people by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night. God met Moses on smoking Mount Sinai. Scared the people. God was there in the Ten Commandments. He was there in the Ark of the Covenant. God was present in the tabernacle. Probably some other ways that I haven't thought of. Second question, how did God provide for Moses and the Israelites as they traveled? One we've already talked about, and that is his presence. Another way he provided was then the deliverance from slavery to liberty. He provided protection. He provided leadership. He literally provided water from a rock, from bad tasting water, where Moses threw a piece of wood into the water so that it was drinkable. A couple of times through different rocks, through springs and water that they found in the wilderness. Through food, manna, and quail. Through clothes that didn't wear out. God provided for them through the law, the land. He provided healing, healing of plagues, healing of snake bites as they traveled. He provided, when they entered into the promised land, he provided victory over Jericho simply by marching around the walls of the city. You know, God really was at work in this journey. How did God prepare the Israelites for claiming the promised land as their own? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'll leave this for you to read. I might read a part of it. It talks about God's concern with how he prepared the people for entering the promised land. Verse 6 says, "Observe the law, the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills." How good would that sound, stumbling around in the dust of the wilderness? Verse 10, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful not to forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. You'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He goes on to tell about some of the things we've mentioned that God has done in their journey. How did God prepare the Israelites for claiming the promised land as their own? Well, he taught them the law, his way. He humbled them. He made them his people. Moses and those who were disbelieving died out. All the while, the Canaanites were planting and digging wells and building homes that the Israelites moved into. How did God prepare them for the promised land? I think the answer is simply their journey. The journey that they went on prepared them for the promised land. Moses died. He didn't make it into the promised land until in Matthew chapter 17 we have the transfiguration where Moses shows up on the mountain with Jesus, and to our knowledge that's his only entrance into the promised land. And even then, Moses' attention was not on the land. His attention was on Jesus, the Christ. Psalm chapter 80 was read for us earlier by Kenner. It's kind of a dark psalm, a little bit gloomy. I selected that psalm for the purpose of helping us to recognize how big a deal it was for Israel to become. And in Psalm 80, verses 8 through 11, tell us about Israel being a transplanted vine and how big it became. And if we can imagine that its branches went from the sea to the river, really big. And the next section of the psalm is verses 12 through 15. And in this part of the psalm, the vine has been broken down and burned up. and picked over. And this is really the story of the exile. This is the story of the Babylonian and Assyrian captivity. I'd like for us to consider as a journey story when we meet together next. But where we find ourselves is towards the end of the psalm. Verse 16, your vine is cut down, it's burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the Son of Man you have raised up for yourself. And we understand this to be Jesus. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us and we will call on your name. That's where we find ourselves this morning. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. Hebrews chapter 3 provides more encouragement for us as we consider Moses and Jesus. I'll leave that for you to consider. I want to follow up with those three questions as our challenge for the week. How has God been present through our journey through life? We can see God at work in the lives of Moses and the Israelites, but how has God been present in our lives? Secondly, how has God provided for us in our journey through life? And third, how has God been preparing us for eternity through life's journey? If you'd like, consider Psalm 80 again and give thanks for the journey that we're on together. Sometimes how we got here can get complicated. Really, I suspect the answer is much simpler than we make it. I'm going to tell you about a lady that I met at Contact in the food bank. She was a smaller lady, not very tall. She used a walker. She was older. She almost had a childlike face, and her eyes kind of twinkled when she talked. She would come to the food bank most every Thursday morning. Whether it was her time to get groceries or not, she liked to come to the food bank, I think, to drink coffee and eat day-old donuts. And more than that, I think she liked to come and talk to people. And so I had met her before, and on this particular Thursday morning, we were sitting at a table, and we had been visiting for a little while, and she looked at me and she says, I've got a question for you. I said, really? Okay, yeah. What's your question? She said, how do you get in this church? I said, well, that's a good question. There's two doors back there, and there's two doors back here. And on Sunday mornings at 10:30, you can come in any of them. I think she was really looking for a longer, more complicated answer to a very simple question. But the simple answer resulted in her showing up that next Sunday, coming in one of those doors, and the next Sunday and every Sunday after that for several years until health prevented her from attending. Explaining how the Israelites got to the Promised Land could require a long, non-direct, complicated answer. On the other hand, we could say God used the journey of trust to get them there. During the Israelites' long journey, God was present. He made miraculous provision, and he prepared them to enter the Promised Land and to make it their own. In trust, we too are on the road together with Moses and the Israelites. And God is using this journey to prepare us for our promised land. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, our shepherd, and we ask that you hear our prayer. We thank you for providing and preparing Moses and the Israelites as they journeyed from Egypt through the long wilderness into the promised land. as they moved from empty to full to humility. Father, we thank you for being present both as they journeyed and as we journey in this life. Please forgive us for complaining, for failing to recognize you, and for making this life about our individual selves. As the psalm states that we looked at this morning, restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. Help us to live into our identity as your people, being renewed daily by your Spirit as a living witness to Christ Jesus. You are our shepherd. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 23 uses these words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Hopefully, you feel that way today. However, you might have an unmet need that you would like to share with the people here, this church, that we could be praying about. If you'd like to share a need, or if you'd like to confess your faith in Jesus, come forward now as we stand and sing.